Wow, Sunday before school starts. Jason, we missed Libby last week, man. Yes. Welcome back, Libby. And was Kevin gone too? They both were gone. Oh, okay. Good to have Kevin back as well. And so let's join in prayer. Safe travels back. Lord, thank you for giving us a time to come together and worship you. Lord, the songs and the message, we pray that the fellowship will give us strength as we go out into the world to be a witness for you. Lord, in our hearts, there are things that need to change. Speak to us today about those things. For we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you. Libby and I took a couple of our grandkids to Baltimore to show them around where their old P-Pop grew up. It's changed a little bit since I was there last. It's changed a lot since I was there for a long time. But we enjoyed it, and one of the things I wanted to do is I've taught my kids and grandkids to be Orioles fans. I like baseball. I grew up in Baltimore. I've been watching Major League Baseball games, Baltimore Orioles, since I was 8 years old. I was a member of the Junior Orioles. 75-cent tickets out in the left field bleachers, and happy to be there. So we took them down to Inner Harbor, looked around, and then went to Camden Yards, where the Orioles play baseball. And I'll just say this, the stadium looked a whole lot better than my team did. But we had a wonderful time. It's good to be back with you. Have you ever heard of unavoidable defects? Unavoidable defects is a term that the FDA uses to refer to the amount of contamination they allow in your food. You like pizza? Anybody here a pizza fan? You'll be glad to know that the FDA allows 30 fly eggs per 100 grams of pizza sauce. I'm just saying. Anybody here like chocolate? Yeah? In 100 grams, the government allows 60 insect parts. You like pasta? Anybody like spaghetti? Rigatoni? Yeah, pretty good. The FDA allows 225 insect fragments in 6 samples of pasta. And for every 100 grams of peanut butter, the government allows 25 milligrams of dirt, 30 insect fragments, and 2, count them, 2 rodent hairs. You do what you want after church. It's up to you, but the truth is, folks, we're all defective. We all have parts of our lives, our personalities, our relationships that simply don't work well. On this planet, you will never be sinless. But it is possible to sin less. So today I want to talk to you about making the hard changes in me. You making hard changes in you. The outline should be there in your bulletin. Follow along. You can fill in as we go along. How do we make those hard changes in us, the defects in us? Well, first of all, let me address why it's so hard to change. Why is it so hard to change myself? There are basically 4 reasons. One, because I've had my defects so long. I've had them for so long. I've had them so long that I'm actually pretty comfortable with them. Folks, you didn't get where you are overnight. It took a long time for you to get as messed up as you are. That's why they're hard to change. Another reason they're hard to change is because I identify with them. We often confuse our identity with our defects. But let me tell you straight up, listen, you are not your defects. You are not your sins. They may be something you do, but they're not your identity. A lot of people, rather than saying, I work too much will say, I'm a workaholic. But you are not your defects. In AA, a person will stand up and say, hi, I'm Pete, I'm an alcoholic. They're identifying who they are with their defects. I think the more biblical, healthy way to say it would be to say, hi, I'm Pete, I'm a child of God, and I struggle with overeating, alcoholism, a bad temper. You see the difference there? Third, another reason it's hard to change is because our defects have a payoff. They have a payoff. There's a reward to everything you do. We don't do things that go unrewarded for very long. What is rewarded gets repeated. If you're doing something that isn't good for you, it's because there is some kind of payoff that you're receiving. An emotional payoff or a relational payoff, and it's hard to change. And fourth, another reason it's hard to change and make changes in yourself is because Satan discourages you. He discourages you from those changes. Once you start working on something you want to change in your life, Satan says, hey, who do you think you are? You're never going to change those things. You've had those things for years, for decades, for most of your life. You're never going to get rid of those things. And he discourages us. And these things are part of the reason we have a difficult time changing. But we can change. God can change us. Now, I want you to look at some verses with me here in Ephesians chapter 4 where Paul wrote the following. Paul said, since you have heard all about Jesus and have learned the truth that is in him, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth because we belong to each other. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Now, Paul shares with us in these verses some principles for personal change. The first one is this: change requires learning the truth. It requires learning the truth, not a half-truth, certainly not a falsehood or a lie, but learning the truth. Ephesians 4:21, Paul said, since you have heard all about Jesus and have learned the truth that is in him. Jesus himself said, when you learn the truth will what? Set you free. The secret to personal change isn't a pill. It's not a program. It's not a process. It's not therapy, a book, or a seminar. It's not positive thinking or psychology. Personal truth is, or personal change is found in truth. You've got to know and face the truth about yourself before you're ever going to have personal change. Nothing changes until you start at the bedrock of truth. If you don't know the truth about these things, you're building on a phony, fake, false foundation, and it's ultimately one day going to crumble. Why is it so important to learn the truth for anything I want to change in life? Because behind every self-defeating behavior in your life is a lie that you are believing, that you have bought into. For instance, if you're deeply in debt right now, it's because you believed some lies. You thought, I can just keep on spending, I can just keep on charging forever and get away with it. You believed a lie. You really honestly thought that. That's why you continue to do it. It's interesting. The biggest liar in our lives is us. We tell ourselves all the time that the problem in our lives isn't really a problem, when it really is. Folks, we have to face the truth about ourselves, where we are in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits. The things that we do well, absolutely acknowledge it and thank God for it. But we need to be truthful to ourselves about those things that just don't seem to change. There's a second requirement for personal change. First, you have to be honest. You have to be truthful. And the second requirement is that change requires making choices. It's not enough just to want to change or dream of change. You must choose to change. A lot of times we think we're waiting on God to change us, when in reality, He's waiting on us. And change will happen when you get intentional. Some of you are stuck in the middle right now because you haven't learned how to let go of some things. Paul said in Ephesians 4:22, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Paul says, take that nature and throw it off. God changes us, but we cooperate with God in that change. I guarantee you, if you're here this morning, there is something in your life that you need to throw off of your life, out of your life. You need to take the initiative. Each of your parents gave you 23,000 chromosomes. And because your parents were imperfect, they gave you some of their imperfections. Have you ever noticed the older you get, the more like your parents you are? And I'm not just talking about losing hair and stuff. I, honest to goodness, almost every month I do something and go, oh my gosh, I'm my dad. Part of our defects are biological, no doubt. Part are sociological. Some are theological. Some are nature, some are nurture. Some of them come from circumstances, others from choices. Genetics explains my inclinations, but they don't excuse my choice to sin. Just because I have a natural inclination towards something doesn't mean I have to do it. In changing the defects in your life, God has a part, and you have a part. Matter of fact, look at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Notice what Paul says here. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Work out. You work it out while God works in. Circle those phrases or underline them. Works out, works in. It's kind of like wax on, wax off, right? This is a balance. There's a working out, there's a working in. When changes are being made in your life, the working out is your part. The working in is God's part. We're to work out what God is working in our lives. Notice Paul said, work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. Difference, right? When you're saved, your salvation, God gives it to you. You're saved for all eternity. You don't ever have to worry one moment about losing your salvation. You are a child of God. You were born again. Nothing, no one can ever take that away from you. And that brings us some comfort. work out your salvation, not for your salvation. We work out what God is doing. Anybody here like jigsaw puzzles? Anybody like them? If y'all ever have a jigsaw puzzle, do not invite me. I can't handle jigsaw puzzles. First of all, I'm colorblind. I'm your average, typical red-green colorblind male in America. And you throw all those colors down there, and you're going, oh, I think this fits because here's all these colors. I'm like, what? And it just drives me nuts to have 1,000 pieces of cardboard cut out, and I'm supposed to figure it out? Don't invite me to that party. You can invite my wife. She loves you. When you go buy your 1,000-piece, 500-piece, I like my grandkids' 8-piece jigsaw puzzles. I can handle them. The ones with handles on them, they only go one place, guys. When you go get your jigsaw puzzle, did you create that jigsaw puzzle? No. Somebody else made it. Some company packaged it. They took care of it. You don't make it. You are the one who works it out. Right? God works in us. His salvation in us. We work out what God is doing. You have a part. No excuses. You have a part. Number three, another way we change us. We change knowing that it requires new thinking. The battle for sin in your life and the battle for defects in your life start in the mind. It's won or lost there. You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. Think, feel, act. You think something makes you feel this way and makes you act a way. If you want to change the way you act, you change the way you feel. If you want to change the way you feel, you've got to change the way you think. This is not psychology. It's biblical. It's what Paul wrote. Look in Ephesians 4:23. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your what? Your thoughts. The way you think. The way you process things. And your attitudes. You're not going to change until thoughts and attitudes change. Now, this is more than I can do here. Maybe I'll do a whole other message on this, because this is really important. Let's move on to number four. Change also requires honest community. Now, I've mentioned this multiple times. You're going to have some people in your life who tell you the truth and to whom you will listen. You're not going to get better. You're not going to make progress only on your own. You're going to need support. You're going to need somebody who loves you enough to challenge you. Change requires an honest community. People that you will trust. Typically, the things that are the most difficult in your life, you don't want anybody else to know about. You don't want to confess it to anyone. They're the things you want to hide in the closet, that secret sins, and you don't want anybody to even come close to knowing what they might be. They're the deep-seated problems and fears in your life. But you will never get over them until you share them with at least one other person. You don't have to tell everybody. Find somebody you trust, who's confidential, who loves you, who has your best interest in mind, and share it with them. They're not going to judge you. They're going to support you. They're going to pray for you. Paul said in Ephesians 4:25, put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth, because we love and belong to each other. This means you take all the faking, all the phoniness, all the pretending like you have it all together, and you get rid of it, and you become God honest with you and God honest with someone else. Another way that we change. Change absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, requires the Holy Spirit. You need more power than willpower in your life. You need God's power in your life. Ephesians 4:24, you must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. What's he talking about here? He's talking about here the fruits of the Spirit. They're qualities that God puts in us when we get saved, as we grow, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives through us. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fruit is an inside job. It's what God does in. It's what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. We grow from the inside out. It's the Spirit of God living through us. How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? The answer is gradually. A little bit at a time. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:18. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Underline that phrase, more and more. This means it's a gradual process. It is step by step, a little bit at a time. It's not instant change. It's incremental change. Sometimes we beat ourselves up, because I think Satan tells us all kinds of lies, and we say, if we're really believers and the Holy Spirit's living in us and all that's true, then how come I'm not changed more than I am? God is changing us a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And making changes in me requires the Holy Spirit's work in my life. What is God changing in you? What does God want to change in you that you need to own up to and begin cooperating with the Holy Spirit in making those changes? What is God trying to chisel out of your life to replace it with blessings and Christ-likeness? What hard changes is God letting you know that you need to make? It takes time, folks. It takes time. You know, when God decides to make a mushroom, he takes 6 hours to do it. That's why you can go to bed and look at your front lawn, no mushrooms, go to bed and wake up, mushrooms. 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 60 years. Do you want your life to be a mushroom or an oak tree? There's no instant maturity. There's no instant change. It won't change overnight. But as you cooperate with God, he will change you. He will change you. God, thank you that you can, through us and using us, us cooperating with you, you can make the hard changes in our lives. And I got a feeling during this time of worship through your word, you probably brought a few of those things back to our minds. You got our attention regarding those things once again. And you can make those changes. God, give us grace enough to give in to what you're doing in us, with us, to us, and to cooperate with you, to do our part while you're working in. Help us to work out changes in our lives that you want made. Help us to see ourselves, God, the way that you see us. As a masterpiece created by your hand. Now, Father, during this time of response, it is our prayer that each of us, I, would do what I feel you calling me to do, whatever that may be. Continue the process of changing us and using us, even in the midst of that change, to bless others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you so much for your love, and that in the midst of the message that we've heard today, the changes that need to take place in our life, in our families, in our city, in our state, in our nation, even our world, Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to be instruments that will bring about those changes. Lord, we love you. We thank you for caring enough to not leave us in the same place, but to move us forward. Be with those students and teachers and administrators as they go back to school, Lord. I just pray that your blessing will be on them. Help them be mindful that you are with them every step of every day. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.